www.cdc.org/caregiver.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Well, tomorrow is the final day to vote in this election. Looks like we're going to have record turnout in Florida for the midterm election, something really unusual. So we're going to talk about the elections first here on Radioactivity. And then as we're talking about the elections, you can email your comments into us here at dj@wmnf.org. Later on in the program, we're going to talk about perhaps the biggest single issue for President Trump during this election. And it's not health care. It's not the environment. We're going to talk about President Trump's single biggest issue. But first, Florida this week from this past Friday night, which features a panel of usually a Democrat or Republican and a couple of journalists or maybe a professor and a journalist. We're going to hear Florida this week from this past Friday night on the PBS station here in Tampa, WEDU-TV, and we're going to talk about the elections, and then after the show, we'll open up the phone lines. Coming up next, the final days before the midterm election have the candidates and their surrogates in a full court press for votes. Early voting and vote by mail is setting records. Healthcare tops the list of Floridians' concerns in the election, and what's the closest congressional race on Florida's West Coast? Political Insights next on Florida This Week.
WEDU Studios, this is Florida This Week. And now, moderator Rob Lurie.
Welcome back. This week our panelists are Paula Dockery is a former state legislator, a columnist, and a member of no political party right now. Chris Ingram is a host on Bay News 9 and AM Radio 820 News. He's a Republican. Ashley Walker is the Florida State Director of For Our Future. She's a Democrat. And John Romano is a columnist at the Tampa Bay Times. Well, how exciting is this, right? Well, the candidates and their surrogates are out in force across the state as they try to turn out the vote before Tuesday's election. In Estero, outside of Fort Myers this week, President Trump campaigned along with fellow Republicans Rick Scott, who's running for Senate, and Ron DeSantis, who's running for governor. The president warned that if the Democrats win the governor's race, Florida's economy would take a downturn like that of Venezuela, that taxes would be raised, and that hordes of immigrants would flood into the country. In the appearance, just days after the arrest of the MAGA pipe bomb center in South Florida and the massacre at the Pittsburgh synagogue by a neo-Nazi, the president blamed the news media for causing division in the country.
Yesterday's visit to Pittsburgh was about coming together as a nation to comfort and to heal. After this day of unity and togetherness, I came home and sadly turned on the news and watched as the far left media once again used tragedy to sow anger and division.
Meantime, Democrats are campaigning across the state on protecting Social Security, health care, and the environment, creating a more inclusive society, and raising the minimum wage. The Democratic candidates for CFO and Attorney General appeared at an Andrew Gillum for Governor rally at USF in Tampa on Wednesday. The headliner was Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who called for an end to divisive politics.
You understand that when you get to the Oval Office, your sacred duty as a president is to bring the American people together. Whether you are black or white or Latino, Native American or Asian American, we are all Americans.
So, John, what role do you think the tension in the country right now is playing in how voters are making up their mind?
Well, I think it's driving the turnout, at least on the far sides of both bases. You're seeing turnout in a midterm election much higher than it's ever been before. I think this hasn't started with this election cycle, this kind of hatred and division. I mean, we've always had disagreements. We've always had criticisms and insults during campaigns. It's just turned up a notch this time around. And I don't want to point fingers, but I do think it starts at the top, It starts with a president who really doesn't care as much about the country as he cares about his presidency. I think you have Mitch McConnell in the Senate who doesn't care about the country as much as he cares about holding on to power. In the past, we've had elected officials who wanted power and who wanted to push their agendas, but they always stopped short when it was going to harm the country as opposed to helping the country, you know, whether you agree with their policies or not. Now we've got people who simply want to win and want to stay in power, and it's getting uglier and uglier.
Chris, do you think the division in the country stems from the tone that the president is setting?
I think the president has some responsibility, and he certainly has a role in setting that tone, but I reject the notion that somehow Mitch McConnell is to blame, that he's somehow the first Senate majority leader that's more concerned about getting reelected and staying in power than his predecessors. I also think that there's an important role that the media has been playing, and that a lot of particularly conservative voters have just had enough of, and that's the one-sided nature of the reporting, not to mention the editorials in newspapers across the country. Don Lemon at CNN and the vile, terrible things that he's been saying, and all this stuff that the media just seems to take a pass, and conservatives notice. And thank goodness for the internet for bringing a lot of these things to the attention that the mainstream media just falls flat on reporting on because it doesn't suit their political agenda.
Mitch McConnell, who wanted to torpedo 8 years of Barack Obama, that's not different from previous Senate leaders?
Absolutely. I mean, there have been plenty of Senate leaders that are all they're concerned about is maintaining control, maintaining their majority. Mitch McConnell may be more of a master at actually doing it, but absolutely. You could go back to the days of Russell and far before that in the United States Senate and its history that's all they're concerned with. And that's an unfortunate side of American politics, but it's a reality, and it's not unique to Republicans or Mitch McConnell in any way.
Actually, this idea that the president is using, that the news media is the enemy of the people, that there's a lot of fake news, is he complaining because the news is poorly produced and not done in traditional journalistic standards, or is he complaining because the news tends to show him in a bad light?
I think that the president doesn't like the news, so he calls fake news. And I think the biggest fake news of the day is the what the president is saying about the election. I think that it is unfortunate, the decorum that has happened here in our country, and I do believe that the president is only exacerbating that issue, whether it be a crazy tweet of the day or rallying folks at his rally, the clip that we just saw, calling folks names. It's just there's a level of decorum that has always existed in politics that just does not, those rules no longer apply, and I think that the biggest proponent of that has pushed that forward is the president, unfortunately.
Well, I think the question is, how do you bring the country together? I mean, Paula, is the country so divided that we can't come together, are there ways that we can come together?
Well, let me try and address it this way. I was a lifelong Republican, and I was getting extraordinarily uncomfortable even before this president took office with the way that the Republican base needed to be ginned up with anger and hatred and vilifying people. And one of the reasons I started to separate from the Republican Party is because that isn't what motivated me. I was motivated by policy. I was motivated by working across the aisle. And I think if you look at my 16 years in office, that's what I was known for, is working across the aisle. But what I did find out from now starting to support some political candidates on the Democratic side is Republican voters do seem to be motivated by the anger and the angry rhetoric. And Democratic voters aren't motivated by that. In fact, they're depressed by that. If people get too angry in their rhetoric, they get kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, what's the use? They want issue-oriented campaigns. They want character-based campaigns. And so you do have that big dichotomy. How do you bring that together? How do you campaign to your base? I wish everybody cared more about working together and getting something done instead of being a master of obstruction.
Well, Chris, I wonder, you can answer any of the points that Ashley and Paula made, but I'm wondering, is President Trump the right one to bring the country together? And is the president right now campaigning just toward his base? Is he doing anything to go beyond his base in the campaign?
Well, I think that the base is certainly a fundamental part of the president and most any Republican, for that matter, any Democrat's campaign in a general election. You got to get your base out. That's fundamental. detrimental of a successful election campaign. But look, here's the issue I think that a lot of conservatives and Republicans have with what's going on in the world today, and that is that we have record unemployment, record job growth, we have still a booming stock market, we had tax cuts. Economically, America is doing really well, and Donald Trump can't get a fair shake from the media on any of that type of reporting. It is just few and far between, and I think that a lot of people have recognized it, and this is my perspective, and it is absolutely something that Republicans look at and go, this is just not fair. And the media can sit there and defend itself, but it is a perspective that I think that the media is not really situated to be objective about itself and to make that assessment.
Okay, so I'm not the media, and I want to make an observation. I don't like when facts are misrepresented. And so today, I looked up how many jobs. First of all, I'm thrilled that the jobs report today was 275,000 jobs. Great. So I looked up the last 2 years of Barack Obama's job creation versus these 2 years of Trump's. Now, Trump still has 2 months to go. Trump needs to create, under his administration, almost 500,000 jobs in these next 2 months to tie Barack Obama's job creation in the last 2 years of his administration. So let's not say this is record-breaking.
Within reach with 2 more months to go.
Yes, but it's not record-breaking.
John, Chris's point that the news media doesn't give President Trump a fair shake. You were shaking your head and disagreeing with Chris. No, I did, you know, I get the AP feed 24 hours a day. They did report on the great job numbers, and they did report on the great employment numbers today, that they were the first ones to report it.
That's not the same as a positive story about the president.
To Paula's point, if AP reports that the job numbers look great, but they're only as good as what Barack Obama's was too. They're, you know, it's not like they're record-breaking in any sense. It's not like they're unprecedented in any sense. Donald Trump calls that false, fake news. You say that it's not fair to Donald Trump because they're not, you know, the news media is not shaking pom-poms over these job numbers. That's not the news media's job. And what Donald Trump wants is he wants a news media to stand up and salute every single thing that he does and pretend that he's the greatest, because that's what he says.
But you're not satisfied when the AP reports a good job numbers? That's not good enough?
That's not the same. A job report number is not the same as a story that's positive about President Trump. Your newspaper last Sunday had a big positive story for Andrew Gillum on the front page of the A section, and two very positive stories about Andrew Gillum on the front section of the local section, and nary anything positive about Ron DeSantis. When you went through to the page 8 to look at the continuation of the story in the front section of the paper, they had this great big picture of Andrew Gillum, a little tiny one of Ron DeSantis. And those little things matter. They add up in the subconscious of the reader, demonstrates the one-sidedness of the newspaper. I could take your newspaper every single day and probably make that exact same point.
We had our political writer did this incredibly long takeout on Ron DeSantis. We've had all kinds of...
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, unless you're ready to move on, I did want to say that during the last debate, when you listened, Andrew Gillum actually talked about issues, and Ron DeSantis talked about Andrew Gillum. So I'm not sure what a newspaper is supposed to cover about Ron DeSantis when he's not putting any issues out there.
I think that the newspaper ought to be talking about the fact that a lot of people in this state are very concerned about the direction that Andrew Gillum would take us with the people he associates with the people that he's taken money from. He referred to the collective state and the debate right here in this studio. I think that there are a lot of concerns that the media is just failing, because socialism is a failed ideology, and every time it's been experimented
it's not a buzzword.
Look at what the guy believes.
Actually, does the governor have the power to enact socialism in the state? Does the governor...
This is Republican rhetoric that Andrew Gillum is somehow going to make Florida into a socialist state. The fact is that Andrew Gillum wants to make sure that there's a fair economy in Florida so that all folks that are working hard every day can get by and not live paycheck to paycheck. He wants to make sure that Floridians have health care coverage, that they can afford the health care coverage, and that Floridians are still protected by... through the Affordable Care Act for folks with pre-existing conditions. If you call that socialism, then I guess that's what Andrew Gillum stands for. But I think that it is nothing more than Republican rhetoric.
We're going to have to move on. But around the country, turnout for the midterm is setting records, and the same is true here in Florida.
More than 4 million people have already voted, either by mail or in early voting. More Republicans than Democrats have voted already. But then there's the independents, the third-party members, and the NPAs. So far, about 700,000 of them have voted. And the question is, which way will they lean?
Well, Chris, that is a question. Where do you think the independents, the MPAs, are going to go?
It's hard to know. These are people who have voluntarily taken themselves out of part of the electoral process, not having a say in the general election or the primary elections of both parties. But that doesn't mean that they don't have their partisan leanings or that they can't fall prey to some of the political antics that we see with both parties engaging in this divisive politics. And this at least subconsciously going to work on those folks. They're going to come out and they're going to vote. We've seen some record numbers, but I don't think that they're going to be completely record-breaking by the end of the day. Right now on Friday, we've had 1,689,000 Republican votes cast, 1,631,000 Democrat votes cast. The turnout on those two parties are going to really dictate what happens. Then the NPA voters are going to be a small minority of the split. It's really about turnout among the partisans.
Paula, you're an MPA. What do you think? Do you have a sense of where they're going to lean this time?
I think the NPAs are going to lean a little more Democratic this time because, as I was explaining before about what motivates each type of the voters, the NPAs are kind of disgusted with both parties, but what they want is for everybody to work together, and that more clearly is leaning towards the Democrats than the Republicans, particularly when the head of the Republican Party has been throwing out the rhetoric to an extent I've never seen in my lifetime.
Ashley, you're a Democratic insider. What do you think about the MPAs? They're the key to this race, right?
This is a very close race. It's going to come down to the wire, and I think that it's going to come down to independent voters. And poll after poll has shown that independents are breaking Democrats' way. It's just a matter of how much they break our way and how much each party gets out their base. Earlier, we were talking about President Trump here trying to rally his base today. President Obama was in Miami. And all of that is about making sure that both the Democratic base and the Republican base is turning out. And they're all in trying to get those independent votes as well. But we've got to turn out the base for both parties.
I saw some numbers yesterday that independent voters, 18 to 34, it's something like 35% of the independent voters are 18 to 34, which is an extremely high number. Republicans tend to skew a little bit older. So if you look at it from that sense, the MPAs are more likely to vote to the Democrat side, but I don't know that you can take that as any kind of gospel.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. It's just, will they show up to vote?
Yeah, right. Will they show?
Yeah. All right. Well, what issues are driving Florida voters at the polls? Two recent surveys taken in October show the top issues might surprise you.
The NBC Marist poll shows the top issues in Florida are health care, the economy and jobs, immigration, and guns. Those were also the top issues in a Kaiser Family Foundation poll. What's surprising is that some other top Florida issues that show up in heavy doses in TV ads and at campaign rallies were not in the top in either of those surveys. Issues such as protecting the environment, education, and corruption.
So, Ashley, I was floored by this because environment didn't show up. It's an issue that I think a lot of Floridians care about. But what do you make of health care being the top issue among Florida voters?
I'm really not surprised that healthcare is the top issue among Florida voters. At For Our Future, we are out knocking on doors every day. Just last week, we knocked on over 500,000 doors, and this healthcare is the top issue that we're hearing about at the doors when we ask folks about what issues they care about most. Folks, everybody has to go to the doctor. Everybody knows someone with a pre-existing condition. Right now, here in Florida, Florida is one of 20 states that is suing the federal government to roll back the Affordable Care Act, which means it would roll back pre-existing conditions for estimated 7.8 million Floridians. And so it's a big issue. It's a big issue, and I think it's an issue that is going to play very well for Democrats this cycle, because I think when you compare the work that Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum the work that Bill Nelson has done and the work that Andrew Gillum wants to do, I think that this issue is going to play out very well for Democrats.
Chris? I think the Democrats might be misreading the tea leaves or overplaying their hand to think that health care, just because it's the number one issue, which I think most would agree is typically a more Democrat-leaning issue, but that doesn't mean that it's not an important issue to Republicans as well. A lot of Republicans, hard-working Republicans who pay taxes and who work hard and trying to raise their families, are paying more for health care, substantially more for health care today than they were 2 or 3 years ago. Barack Obama said that you'd be able to keep your plan, you'd be able to keep your doctor. A lot of people know that that is not worked out to be true. And so I think that there is a lot of people that are very upset about the fact that health care is not good, and it's not necessarily people that say, oh yeah, I think Obamacare has been wonderful. It's the folks that say we need to fix this because Obamacare was not the solution that it was promised to
be.
Well,
I was looking at the tabs, Chris, and John, you can answer this question. The tabs say that 18% of Republicans want to repeal Obamacare outright. That was one of their big issues. 10% of independents want to repeal Obamacare outright, but it didn't rise to the number one issue for either independents or for Republicans to repeal outright. There is a sizable number that wants to repeal, but it's not the number one issue.
It's an issue that I think everybody cares about. It just depends on your point of view in terms of which political party. It's almost become an issue where it's like, you know, my side is right and your side is wrong, and I don't even care what the facts are in the case. It's just I'm going to follow whatever the Democrats say, or I'm going to follow whatever the Republicans say, and the reality of it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, one of the closest races for Congress in Florida is in the Tampa Bay area. Two recent polls found Democrat Kristen Carlson and Republican Ross Spano in a dead heat for the Congressional District 15 seat, and the nonpartisan Cook Political Report shifted the race to a toss-up recently.
A New York Times poll shows the candidates tied at 43%, while a Bay News 9 Survey USA poll has them slightly higher, tied at 45%. MCI Maps reports the district voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton by 10 points in 2016. The district runs from Claremont and Groveland southwest to Lakeland and Tampa suburbs in Hillsborough County. Incumbent Republican Dennis Ross announced his retirement from the seat earlier this year. Voter registration data also reveals a slim 3,000 voter advantage for Republicans in the district in a race that will likely come down to which of the two candidates can win the 135,000 voters in the district who registered with no party affiliation.
Paula, Dennis Ross has held that seat for a long time, a Republican. Can the Democrats flip that seat?
Absolutely. I think if you look back on an old episode, at the end of one of the shows, I said to you the story you need to be watching, and I think I said this back in May, is Congressional District 15. I mean, it is a red seat. It is a red district. But when Dennis Ross announced he was not going to run for re-election, I knew that that was a flippable seat. And the Cook Report and the pundits at the national level kept it lean red or solid red for a long time, and then you could just keep watching it move closer and closer. And the person who's running as a Democrat is a strong candidate who has ties in both Hillsborough County and Polk County and an agricultural background. So she's getting a lot of crossover Republican vote.
But Polk County is a pretty conservative county. Eastern
yes.
Hillsborough County is pretty conservative, but
yes.
You think the Democrats can take that one?
Yes.
Okay.
This Democrat can take that one.
It's interesting that Carlson sort of fits the same profile that you saw with Doug Jones in Alabama and Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania. Chris Hunter, who's running against Bill Arrakis and Pinellas Pasco, is that former prosecutor. So, you know, it's sort of this law and order type Democrat, not the typical liberal looking candidate out there.
But with an agricultural background.
All right. Well, before we go, what other news story should we be paying attention to? Chris, let's start with you.
Well, I think voters, if they haven't already voted, they're going to be very surprised by the length of all of the amendments on the ballot. Need to take their time and do their homework before so they don't have to stand in line and read all that. And my advice to people, I voted yes for three of them. I won't get into all that. But if you don't know, I encourage people to just vote no, because most of this stuff doesn't belong in the state constitution. The state legislature should do its job and put it there.
I've heard that there are long lines in the polls at the polls right now just because of that, just because of those many amendments.
Yeah, it takes
on
some
the
time.
Ballot. Yeah. John, your other big story?
Going into Tuesday, we've got two candidates for governor that I think most people would see as far right, far left. That's a product of a closed primary system. Florida is one of just a handful of states now that has a completely closed primary system, and I think it's hurting us. I think it's pandering to the bases of both parties. I think after this election, Florida needs to look into the possibility of having some kind of open primaries that brings out more moderate-type campaigns.
And there's some people that want to do that here in Florida that have started a movement. All right, Ashley, your other big story?
The local election to watch is the Hillsborough transportation referendum. That it has been tried multiple times here, not just in Hillsborough, but also in Pinellas County, to try to finally find solutions to the congestion and road issues that are facing commuters coming into the county and folks just trying to get to and from work and get their kids to and from school. And so this on Tuesday, I'm going to be watching to see if voters vote yes for transportation, for safer roads, better roads, and safer streets.
And the NAACP in Hillsborough County came out today on Friday officially against that transportation measure.
Yes, and the local Sentinel paper, which is an African-American newspaper, has endorsed it. So has County Commissioner Les Miller. And so there's widespread support for it. And I think that Hillsborough voters are tired of sitting in traffic and ready for solutions.
All right. And Paula, your other big story.
So Governor Scott and his Secretary of State tried to prevent early voting locations from being placed on college campuses. It went to the courts. U.S. District Judge Mark Walker ruled that there should be early voting places. Not have it is discriminatory. This year, there were early voting locations opened on our college campuses and universities. And as of yesterday, actually at USF campus, my numbers are of 2 days ago, but there were over between 46 and 50,000 people who have voted at these early voting locations on college campuses. Now, that doesn't mean they're all students. Some of them could be staff because it's open for anybody registered in that county. But these opening this up makes it easier for people to vote, and that should be the goal, and it seems to be working.
Do you think that effort to sign up young people to vote is part of the reason why these numbers are so big?
I think so, but I think it's just convenience. You know, people can't leave their jobs, and you've got staff and students there on college campuses.
Well, thank you all for a great show. I can't wait till Tuesday, and I know you can't either. So thanks for watching Florida This Week. Your comments are always welcome. Please write us at ftw@wedu.org.
Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night, and my guests were Ashley Walker. She's a Democrat. Chris Ingram is a Republican. Chris hosts a radio show here in the Tampa Bay area. Paula Dockery is a former state legislator. She's currently affiliated with no political party. And John Romano was the journalist on that panel. He writes a column for the Tampa Bay Times. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Some of the emails that we got in, Peter writes this: it's quite obvious how anger is a Republican tool from listening to your Republican guest. That's Peter's email. Edward writes this: it's so frustrating to hear commentary from the right that returns to the socialism is always evil theme. All of us in the U.S. have had that beat into our consciousness my entire life, 75 years. Socialism is proving its merits all around the globe. The economic plan for society depends on honest leadership. Whether a communist, socialist, or capitalist form of government is in place, the primary force in how well the government supports the citizenship is the honesty of its leadership that represents the people. That's Ed in Largo. And Adam writes this: I'm so sick of hearing conservatives complain about Trump not getting credit for the economy. When did the economy start recovering? Around 2010, yet they want to give no credit at all to Obama, writes Adam. That's Adam's email. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. I'm going to open up the phone lines in just a moment. Frank Knox is our phone producer today. There's an interesting article today in the Politico website. It's written by Jeff Greenfield, who's a longtime political reporter and analyst. And the story says, the headline is, "Worries deepen that Trump's charged immigration rhetoric will cost the GOP more seats." House Speaker Paul Ryan got President Trump on the phone yesterday for one final plea on behalf of anxious Republicans. "Please, please, please talk up the booming economy in the final hours before Election Day." But President Trump, unsurprisingly, had another issue on his mind. He boasted to Ryan that his focus on immigration has fired up the base, according to a source familiar with the call. So you can see that entire article. That's just the opening of the article on Politico. The headline is, Trump has hijacked the election, House Republicans in panic mode. We'll see about that. Just regarding the immigrants who are planning to head for the U.S. border, I'll read the latest from the Associated Press. A large group of Central American migrants has resumed its trek toward Mexico City, planning to join the several hundreds who've already arrived in the Mexican capital in hopes of finding some way to reach the U.S. border. It's an ambitious jump from the city of Cordoba, where many spent the night last night. Cordoba is 874 miles in driving distance from Laredo, Texas, a border town. That means that the migrants are still far away from the U.S. border. Among the group that's south of Cordoba is 42-year-old Yuri Juarez, who says he closed his internet cafe in Villanueva, Guatemala, after gang members extorted him, robbed his customers, and then stole his computers. He says he knows there's a very low chance of asylum in the U.S., but he says he's got no work, no way to work anymore back home in Guatemala. Mexico's Interior Ministry estimated over the weekend that there are more than 5,000 migrants in total currently moving through southern Mexico via the caravans or in smaller groups. The ministry said 2,700 migrants have applied for refugee status in Mexico in recent weeks, and around 500 have asked for help to return to their home countries, such as Honduras and El Salvador. So that's the latest on the migrant caravan. Some people are in Mexico City. Some people are south of Cordoba. The group that's south of Cordoba, they're 874 miles in driving distance from Laredo, Texas. Once they get to Cordoba, that's how close they are. They're still about 180 miles south of Cordoba. So they're a long way away. Well, the issue of immigration has really occupied the president and his supporters. If you watch Fox News, they're talking about immigration a lot. And over the weekend, Saturday Night Live made fun of Fox News' obsession with the immigrant caravan. And I want to ask you about this. Is this fair to Fox News, this send-up? This was the cold open on SNL on Saturday night.
Good evening, I'm Laura Ingraham. And just to quickly respond to all of my fan mail, no, you're an a-hole. Tonight we're live from the Arizona border, where a vicious caravan of dozens, maybe millions, of illegal immigrants is headed straight for you and your grandchildren. And that is not fear-mongering, that is just... the truth. Thankfully, we have a president who actually protects America. President Trump, seen here in a new official portrait, has sent thousands of troops to the border to stop the caravan. Of course, the liberal media is trying to label President Trump a racist, but except for his words and actions throughout his life, how is he racist? All of a sudden, the term nationalist is bad. The word white is bad. The phrase white nationalist is bad. When I hear white nationalist, I just think of a fun 4th of July barbecue. The kind you don't have to call the cops on. And let's find out what's really happening with this caravan. Joining me is the host of her own show here on Fox News, Judge Jeanine Pirro.
It's an absolute disgrace.
What is?
Just whatever you're talking about. Right.
Now, Judge Pirro, what have you heard about the caravan?
I haven't just heard about it. I've seen it with my own eyes. Take a look at this footage of the caravan from earlier today.
My God. And that is real footage of the caravan?
It has to be real. I found it on TruthEagle.gov.
Who is in this caravan?
Everyone you've ever seen in your nightmares, Laura. It's got Guatemalans, Mexicans, ISIS, the Menendez brothers, the 1990 Detroit Pistons, Thanos, and several Babadooks.
And President Trump has said there are Middle Eastern people as well?
No question, Laura. This caravan's got hella Aladdins. They took the very common common direct flight from Iran to Guatemala. They claimed their elephants as service animals and then rode them straight into Mexico. It makes almost too much sense.
And what will happen when they get here?
We're in trouble, Laura. Just look at this footage of the caravan crossing into Mexico.
That's truly horrifying. Was that Brad Pitt?
Yes, that's right. We believe he's actually dating the caravan, which people have labeled Brad-a-van.
That's top-notch reporting, Janine.
I know!
Now, I'd like to take a moment to thank my sponsors, all the wonderful companies that stuck with me after I attacked the survivors of the Parkland shooting. So a big thanks to Warm Ice Cream. Is regular ice cream too cold for your sensitive teeth? Let us warm it up first. And from the makers of My Pillow, my hemorrhoid donut. Everyone's hemorrhoids are unique. Shouldn't your donut be too? And of course, White Castle. A castle for whites? Yes, please. And don't miss my colleague Brian Kilmeade's new book, Andrew Jackson and the Battle for Hillary's Emails. It's an inspiring story. Now, as we said, thousands of troops are heading to the border. The goal is to have 5 armed soldiers for every 1 shoeless immigrant child. Trump is calling it Operation Eagle with a huge dong. Here with an insider's look is former Milwaukee sheriff and Trump cheerleader David Clark. Sheriff, how are you?
Unpopular among my own people.
And what is your take on the caravan?
Well, the situation is urgent, Laura. The caravan is only 800 miles from our border. If these immigrants walk at a normal pace of 300 miles a day, they could be here in time to vote on Election Day.
And are they moving that quickly?
Well, let's just take a look at this aerial footage of the caravan.
My God, and those are humans?
Basically, yeah. We've also learned that all the women in the caravan are more than 9 months pregnant. And they're holding the babies in until the exact moment when they cross over the border. And then they're gonna literally drop anchor. And the babies, get this, are pregnant.
And Sheriff, I do have to press you on this. What are your sources?
The crows from Dumbo.
Me. Thank you, Sheriff Clark. Now, leading up to the midterms, there's a lot of awful voter suppression going on. That's why I'm proud to present a new segment called Fox News Tips for Black and Hispanic Voters. We want to make sure your voices are heard. So, tip one, never vote on Tuesdays. The crowds are the absolute worst on Tuesdays. Tip number two, ballots can be confusing. If you see R next to a name, that means really a Democrat. And the letter D means that's a Republican. And tip three, you already voted. You might not remember voting, but you did, so just relax. And those tips were brought to you by Medical Sneakers. Jealous of your nurse's style? Get Medical Sneakers. And American Jesus commemorative plates. See Jesus the way he really was, as an American. Let's take a break. When we come back, an update from disgraced former actor Alec Baldwin, seen here molesting a young Boy Scout.
All right, well, that was SNL's cold open on Saturday night, making fun of President Trump's and Fox News' preoccupation with the caravan. And so my question to you is, was that fair to Fox News? Was that pretty close to what you'd actually see on Fox News? And how big of a problem do you think that the caravan poses for the U.S.? President Trump has been campaigning nonstop for the last few days. And at every stop, he raises his concern about the caravan coming from Mexico. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. This is 88.5 FM, and let's go to Teresa in St. Pete. Hi, Teresa. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I think it's perfectly fair for Saturday Night Live, because that's pretty much what you hear on Fox News. And second of all, I have a You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of listening to the Republican side whine like little babies about the horrible press coverage and the horrible things that are said about Trump. You know, I've been over this for 8 years. President Obama took crap from the right side. He never called them the enemy of the people. He never called, you know, and it's just getting tired of listening to them complain. President Obama sat down with Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. And the economy, Trump inherited a good economy. So, but you never, the right never gave President Obama any credit.
Well, Teresa, I think Republicans have every right to if they, you know, if my guest Chris Ingram thought that there were too many pro-Gillum stories one day in the Tampa Bay Times, I think he has every right to point it out. I wasn't fast enough to point out that Andrew Gillum has had a lot of days where negative stories about him headlined the Tampa Bay Times, including stories about him taking free Hamilton tickets and questions about whether or not he paid for a trip to Costa Rica. But I think it's okay.
I think it just gets to that point where they act like the right never criticized President Obama for 8 years. You know, it's just like, suck it up. This is what happened. When you're president or when you're the party in charge, Bush went through the same thing, Clinton, Father Bush, right? All the presidents before went through all this negative press and, you know, hating on one side or the other. And they never came out and spoke out about it. That's my point. It's just that the presidents in the past didn't come out and call people names, call the press the enemy of the people. No bombs were sent through mail. Things like that.
All right.
That's the thing I'm talking about.
All right, Teresa. Well, I'm glad we could get it off your chest. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, so you heard Teresa. What do you think? 813-239-9663. And you think President Trump is right? I mean, we heard that the top issues for Floridians are health care, the economy and jobs, immigration and guns. The president has honed in on immigration and honed in on the caravan. Is the president doing the right thing by honing in on the caravan as his issue, his most important issue, as we go into tomorrow's election day? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ron in Lakeland. Hey, Ron, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Good morning, and thanks again for the work that you do, Rob. It's wonderful stuff. You don't hear this anywhere else on the airwaves.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks.
All right. I was wondering why I don't know how many of the people in the caravan are political asylum seekers, but I've read that there's a preponderance of asylum seekers in that group, yet no one refers to them as such. And I think there's a nomenclature issue here, and I think that is slanting the opinion when people start hearing about hoarding immigrants and, you know, this caravan, it's, you know, so many hundreds of miles away and it's coming for the border. You know, it's part of the, sometimes I think as even middle of the road media tries to cover this, they fall into these syntactical traps. So I really wish we could get some sort of an idea on, you know, is this an asylum issue? It very well may be, given the violence in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. So, caravan, immigrants, more like maybe asylum seekers, from my perspective. I just wanted to add that.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right.
You know, I don't know if every one of the people in these so-called caravans has been interviewed, so we don't know. The Associated Press had a story, and I'll just read the paragraphs this morning that are relevant to Ron's point. The Associated Press did interview a guy who is leaving. He's in the caravan. He's 180 miles south of Cordoba, Mexico. You can look that up on your map. It's really far away. And the guy's name is Yuri Juarez. He's 42 years old. He's in the group. He says he closed his internet cafe in Villanueva, Guatemala, after gang members extorted him, robbed his customers, and then stole his computers. And he tells the Associated Press he knows that there's a very low chance of asylum in the U.S., but he says he's got no way to work anymore back home in Guatemala. So that's one of the people who's leaving. He's looking for work. and there's too much crime in Guatemala. Okay. We also know that the U.S. spends a lot of money on U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. They have not left the border. They're still down there. The president has added this into this mix, armed U.S. military personnel who may, according to the president, shoot at many members of the caravan who throw rocks. Now, we don't know if this caravan is inclined at all to throw rocks or why they would, if they're coming to ask for political asylum or to ask for help from their terrible economy that's gang-dominated. We don't know if any of these people are going to throw rocks, but the president apparently wants them to, if you throw a rock, to be shot dead. Well, what do you think about that? 813-239-9663. And is this caravan the number one issue for you tomorrow? Or do you have other issues that you care about? Here's a new ad from the Republicans, and it's all about the caravan. And this ad is running all across America.
That's illegal immigrant Luis Bracamontes, charged with murdering two police officers. It's pure evil. President Trump is right. Build the wall. Deport criminals. Stop illegal immigration now. Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, so the President Trump doubling down on the issue of the caravan and immigration. What do you think? Was that SNL cold open? Was that fair to Fox News? How big a problem do you think the caravan poses for the U.S.? And is President Trump right to focus on this issue of the caravan? What do you think? Let's go to Gary, who's in Sarasota. Hey, Gary, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, always enjoy the show. I'm an independent, and I can't think of a worse time for this caravan for Democrats.
All right, so you're going to vote. You're going to vote on this issue of the caravan. You think that President Trump is right?
Well, I think that we need a secure border, absolutely.
All right, and what do you think the Border Patrol and U.S. Customs are doing right now along the Texas border? What do you think they're doing?
Well, I think they're trying, but I think it's been weak all the way through for the past 20 years. I mean, you can't have 20 illegal immigrants in this country without having a weak border. But
Well, do they all come in through the border, or do they overstay their visas as they come here from other countries, South America and from Europe and from Asia?
Nobody said it wasn't a big job, but I think.
But you can't stop it by just.
You can't. Our borders are never going to be secure.
But you can't stop it by building a wall.
South America is safe.
All right, but you can't stop.
What can we do?
You can't stop it by building a wall.
Well, what can we do to help Central and South America be safe and law-abiding countries?
Well, how about not funding military governments as we did during Ronald Reagan's administration and the Contras?
That was a long time ago. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm talking about the here and the now. We're never going to have a safe border. And let's face it, we can't bring in all 620 million Latino Americans. We just can't do it. So what do we do? Do we go into Guatemala and set up a government, be a colonialistic country again, and try to teach them right and wrong?
All right. Well, Gary, I hear you loud and clear. You're really concerned about this caravan issue. Thanks for calling.
Well, I'm sensitive.
Well, no, you said you were. So we hear you loud and clear, and I think you made your points very well. Gary, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to David in Bradenton. Hi, David. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Rob, I have a quick comment on the SNL cold open. I mean, by definition, satire is hyperbolic. And, you know, there would be a grain of truth in there somewhere. So I don't know whether it was, quote, fair, unquote, to Fox News. But, you know, the whole the point of the opening is to be satiric. And I think it succeeded at least at that level. The other thing, I've already voted. And I have to tell you that immigration was not at the top of my.
Well, what's the number one issue for you?
Healthcare.
Okay.
Simple as that. But I did want to, the reason I called was actually a tangential remark. One of your panelists on Florida This Week was talking about open primaries. And I have a theory, or it would be an experiment, why not have open primaries, but don't put R in parentheses or B in parentheses or L for libertarian or, you know, green in parentheses. And that way people would have to do a little bit of critical thinking to figure out who they're going to vote for instead of just going down the you know, voting straight.
Well, let's see. I mean, there's going to be a heavy debate over the next 2 years about whether or not to have open primaries. And as we do it, we'll add that into the mix. David, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Rachel in Plant City. Hi, Rachel. We're asking about immigration today from a variety of perspectives. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so first, I completely see nothing wrong with SNL's skit. From what I've seen, I've been watching SNL for years, and I've never seen anyone exempt from their satire, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah, they made fun of the Democrats on Saturday night. Yeah,
every man is created equal if you have something for me to make fun of when it comes to SNL. So when it comes to fairness, I think that it was just Fox News' turn to get the satire pointed at them. So there's nothing wrong with that. I have not voted yet. I am waiting until Tuesday because I have been behind on doing a lot of my own research. And immigration was not on my top priority as far as...
Well, what's the number one issue that you care about that you want politicians to address?
Healthcare is one, like the previous caller said, is my top priority because I have my own health care through my employment. But my mother has been one who has absolutely benefited from the Affordable Care Act. And so I've seen a lot of the positive coming out of it. And I think that we need to keep that going, or even we can make it better. Of course, there's always something that can be changed. Of course, there's something that can be improved on. And it just becomes down to whether the people who are in charge are willing to work together to make improvements, or they just want to say, no, it's not what I want, so it has to be gone, or no, this is how I want it, and there's no changes.
All right, Rachel, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling in from Plant City. Good to hear from you. James writes this, yes, the SNL skit was fair to Fox News. Fox is not funny. Instead, they're angry and scared, writes James. Tony writes this. He says, your listeners know about the Nigerian government soldiers that killed 40 protesters because some threw rocks. They cited Donald Trump's statement about using guns against rocks as justification. Can we be certain that such a thing could never happen here if Trump's power is not checked during the midterm elections, writes Tony. And Kevin writes this, the election is about one issue, and that is, does truth even matter anymore? That's Kevin's email. I'm asking the question, was the SNL cold open fair to Fox? How big of a problem do you think the caravan poses to the U.S.? And is President Trump right to concentrate on the issue of the caravan as we get towards tomorrow's election? This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And you can call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Mike in Temple Terrace. Hey, Mike, you're on WMNF.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to comment on a couple points. My number one issue is climate change because it's the big issue. It completely overwhelms every other issue if you pay any attention to any science whatsoever. But as far as the caravan goes, it's an absolute misdirection of what's important as to climate change, as to health care, and other things that are important. And also, I believe this comments about shooting people for throwing rocks is Trump's attempt to make some kind of connection to what the Israelis are doing in Gaza and to somehow legitimate that kind of conduct. These are peaceful asylum seekers. As far as we know, nobody's going to be throwing any rocks. They're just seeking a safe haven from the violence in their country. And frankly, we need the workers.
So all right. Mike, thanks a lot.
That's my comment.
All right. Great. Great. Short and succinct. Thanks a lot. In that SNL cold open, they used a lot of video footage, including some from World War Z, the film with Brad Pitt, which is a scary movie about the end of our society as we know it. And they use that as sort of the B-roll. Well, anyway, do you think it was fair? Do you think President Trump is right to concentrate on immigration? And let's go to Matt, who's in Tampa. Hey, Matt, you're on WMNF. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good.
In a lot of ways, I think Trump is right to focus on immigration, and I don't mean that morally. I mean, like, politically, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he seems to be successful in getting his base going. Immigration was important for me whenever I went to the polls. Frankly, I think it's despicable the way we talk about immigrants, which is why I voted pretty much, exclusively Democrat all the way down the ballot. I think the way that the right is looking at immigration right now, I think it's disgusting.
So you're not living in fear. You're not living in fear of this caravan.
No. Yeah. I think it's absolutely hysterical that some people do live in fear of it.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot. Thanks for
all
the
right,
call.
Take care.
And we're almost at the end of the show. Just want to read a few more emails. ZZ writes, it was like cool water flowing over my head to hear President Obama gently rebuke the hecklers in Miami on Friday. He didn't offer to pay for a lawyer for someone to assault the hecklers. He didn't yell. He told the person not to curse because children were in the audience. I almost cried. I can only hope that I see people agree by the results of the vote tomorrow, or I am seriously going to wonder if this is the right country for me anymore. That's Carl's email. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. I'm going to invite Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis to be on this show tomorrow. We'll see how much luck we get, whether either one will accept our offer. And let's see what happens. Sean Cannan has a great program coming up next, a debate, congressional, or what's going to happen in Congressional District 15. That's coming up next. This is